Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. That's what we do here. We don't just cover the news. We don't just commentate about it. We get personal about it. Where do I want to go next? Do I want to go to this next? Maybe.
The president has addressed these directly and made very well clear that none of these allegations are true. This case has already been won in arbitration, and anything beyond that, I would refer you to the president's outside counsel.
You said that there's arbitration that's already been won. By whom and when?
By the president's personal attorneys, and for details on that, I would refer you to them.
But you're aware of them, so what more can you share with us?
I can share that that the arbitration was won in the president's favor, and I would refer you to the president's outside counsel on any details beyond that.
But wait, there's more.
We learned just moments ago that the president is very unhappy with how that press secretary, Sarah Sanders, handled this. So let's start with that. And Abby Phillip, live at the White House this morning. Abby, what have you learned?
Well, good morning, John. A lot going on here, as you just mentioned, but this saga with Stormy Daniels seems to be the one thing that the White House can't dodge. President Trump, according to a source close to the White House who spoke to CNN's Jim Acosta, is not very happy with how Sarah Sanders handled this whole situation during the press briefing room session yesterday. And it's partly because of what she did say this time around that may have opened the floodgates for some new inquiries about the president's involvement in this whole thing. According to this source, you know, Sarah Sanders's comments were essentially putting the Stormy Daniels storyline on steroids yesterday. What she talked about was this issue of arbitration. She acknowledged for the first time, we believe, based on what the White House said that the president is a party to some kind of legal agreement involving Stormy Daniels, and that the president is directly involved in this whole thing.
Should we care? Underdog. We get personal about the news and the culture here. Should we care about this story?
Michael Cohen has acknowledged publicly that he facilitated a payment of $130,000 from his own personal funds in accordance with this agreement.
We think it's highly questionable as to whether it came from his personal funds.
You think the president knew about it?
There's no question the president knew about it.
All of it putting the White House on defense.
Did he know about the payment at the time?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you asked the president this question?
Yeah, I've had conversations with the president about this. There was no knowledge of any payments from the president, and he's denied all of these allegations.
Well, now, stormy weather at the White House. Speaking of stormy weather, this winter seems to just be holding on. For anybody who's listening in Harlem, New York City, in the Northeast, it seems like every week we have nor'easters and thunderstorms and snowstorms. So there's been literally stormy weather from D.C. to Boston and everywhere in between. And then there's been Stormy Daniels weather in D.C. with our president. And supposedly it's been reported that president had some type of relationship with this woman, Stormy Daniels. And supposedly, right before the election in October of 2016, Trump's lawyer sent some money to Stormy Daniels' lawyer, and the slang version is called sending someone hush money, stay quiet about something. And fast forward to this week, the story seemed like it wasn't going to be a story. So I remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about this and I said, scandals just aren't scandals anymore. What used to be news just isn't news anymore. That Donald Trump allegedly had an affair doesn't even like move the spirit, doesn't even do anything for folks. Folks are like, okay, yeah, whatever. Baked in the cake. I'm sure he did with her and other people. Who cares? I'm like, damn, we got to a point where just a year and a half ago, to go back to 2008 and 2012, we had a darn near superhero in office he had to be married one time, have 2.5 kids, had to go to Harvard, had to be well-spoken, if that ain't a backhanded compliment to a brother. But he had to be like Superman. I'm talking about President Barack Obama. Scandal-free. And yet, now all of a sudden, fast forward to 2016, 17, and now 18, hush money, infidelity, porn stars. It doesn't even necessarily make it to the news. But it's back in the news this week, because this week we learned that Trump's lawyer used a Trump email, as well as his title given by Trump, to organize the payoff. And according to Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Trump knew about the whole thing. And now Stormy is suing so she can tell her side of the story. Underdogs, should we care about this story or not? Do you care about this story? I will say, I can somewhat relate to Donald Trump in this situation. Somewhat. Because Donald isn't the only one to ever be involved with a porn star or two. I've never personally been in the physical presence of a porn star. But I have watched some porn before. You know, we get personal about the news and the culture. Trump certainly isn't the first and likely won't be the last person to get himself all messed up because of porn. You know, one of the things I've learned as an underdog, as you know, I've told many of you, I'm working on our first book. Title's still TBD, but it'll be something around the spirit of an underdog's journey. And it'll be both my story, what I've learned along the way, and what I've learned from other underdogs as we've all been working on fighting to rediscover how special we are in the world. And so one of the things I'm starting to do is collect some of those things I've learned that have gotten me to where I am now and hopefully will keep me going to where I'm headed. And I'm not sure if I'm going to call them underdog principles, underdog rules, underdog commandments, underdog steps, but I'm calling them something. And one of them that's likely to make it into the book, likely to make it as definitely an underdog rule, is this idea of everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody wants to get a good job with benefits and stay there for years and have the safety and security of that job. Everybody's doing it. Everybody wants to go out on Friday and Saturday and enjoy the weekend. Turn up team. Have a drink, money to blow. Everybody's doing it. Soon as you get your tax return, time to go shopping, tear the mall up. Everybody's doing it. As a man, and I'm supposed to have a certain sex drive, supposed to want to do it all the time. 40 million Americans watch internet porn. And as a man, everybody's doing it. So shouldn't I want to get that one good job for benefits? Shouldn't I want to look forward to my weekends for partying and playing? Shouldn't I be normal and be like everybody else, every other guy, and watch porn? Because everybody's doing it. But when I do what everybody else is doing, it's hard for me to have the reality of having the things that I want to do.
Internet porn is killing young men's sexual performance. All brain research points in only one direction. Constant novelty at a click can cause addiction. Now, we know this because when scientists examined former internet addicts, they found that these brain changes were reversing themselves.
Hey, I've been there. I used to watch an overwhelming amount of porn, adult internet porn. And as the gentleman says in the audio clip, your brain, my brain, wasn't built for that much stimulation. A click after click after click after click away. And so for years, I had my own interaction with porn stars through watching adult internet porn online. And so I became part of the, a lot of people are doing it. Most boys seek pornography by the age of 10. Most users prefer internet pornography because there's so much out there. Men prefer and end up watching different types of women. And then what happens is my brain, other guys' brains get rewired and become addicted to porn. And it has a potential to become addictive of like all the things on the internet. I mean, we're learning that social media has some properties of potentially becoming addictive for people too. And I know folks are looking into that. And then what happens is, as studies have shown, you start watching a lot of porn and prefer to watch the porn versus being with someone. And you can develop arousal addiction. And this can have some of the symptoms of what I've seen in folks who have ADHD, social anxiety, depression, performance anxiety, OCD. Sex is healthy. It's also natural. But internet adult porn can have the potential to not be so healthy. And the brain can become addicted to it. And I know that all too well. And you know, we get personal about the news and the culture. So we can talk about Trump and his porn problem. But it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be the Gregory Niesman show if I didn't bring up that I had a porn problem. But I'll never forget, like most things out there, underdogs, you may have something that's not working for you and not even know it. I'll never forget, I told one of my friends, this woman that I was dating years ago, I was like, hey, one of my friends was telling me that maybe watching porn might be like something a little off about it, and that maybe it could be having some bad effects on me cognitively, emotionally, how I interact with the world and with women. And I'll never forget, this woman says to me, this woman I'm dating, she goes, what do you mean? She's like, dudes watch porn. That's what they do. And it took me back to what I talked about just a few minutes ago, is that one of the underdog rules or lessons that I've learned is that everybody's doing it isn't always what's best for you or best for me, best for us. And so I had that extreme. And so I'm like, okay, cool. This porn thing feels like it's getting a little out of hand, but my friend says, hey, it's all good. And also I got the validation from a woman, so it felt even better, and I'm dating her. So she's like, oh, it's all good. Then we go to another extreme. At one point, I was dating this woman who ended up becoming my girlfriend. She found out that I was watching porn. And she said to me one day, she goes, when you do that, it feels like you're cheating on me. And I was like, whoa. I mean, first, I wanted to get very defensive. I wanted to be dismissive and be like, you need to chill out. Like, they're not in the room with me. They're on a screen. And then once I got past being dismissive and defensive, I was like, okay, that's definitely a different extreme than the other woman I dated in the past, which was like, hey, go for it. Like, that's what men do. Everybody's doing it. And so then I had to find out and find my own relationship to it. And so for the first time, I saw like a sex therapist because I needed to reconcile this idea of everybody's doing it. And then on the one end, having someone feel like I'm literally like disrespecting them and cheating on them every time I watched it. And while both those extremes are just those women's experience and what they feel, and everybody gets to be where they're at on this topic. What I knew is that something was off and that I got to dive into it, learn a little bit more about it. So I went on this journey of learning about porn and about the effects it can have, how addictive it can be, the impact it was having on me and my relationship with women, my relationship with my friends, my relationship with myself. And what I learned is there's nothing wrong with porn. Just like for some people, there's nothing wrong with alcohol. Just like for some people, there's nothing wrong with food. But for me, it didn't work. And so this idea of everybody's doing it, 40 million Americans, especially men, being a man, you watch porn, it's okay. And it is okay, but it wasn't okay for me. So I finally went on the journey of changing my relationship to sex, changing my relationship to porn. And actually, I get to celebrate that as of last month, February, it's been 2 years of me being adult internet porn free. And I've definitely noticed an impact this had on my relationship with myself, my relationship to sex, my relationship to women, and specifically relationship to the women that I may have been intimate with over that time of the 2 years of no longer having this.
All brain research points in only one direction. Constant novelty at a click can cause addiction. Now, we know this because when scientists examined former internet addicts, they found that these brain changes were reversing themselves.
So we can talk about Stormy Weather, Stormy Daniels, and whether you care or not. But for anybody who's listening right now, and you're part of the 40 million Americans that watch adult internet porn, this might be a time for you to just take a deep breath and think about, are there porn stars messing your life up right now? Got you off balance. Not quite sitting right with you. Because I'm not here to attack the porn industry or say that it's right or wrong. But I am here to say that just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that it works for you and what you want to do. Just because everybody's going out to get a good job with benefits doesn't mean that for you as an aspiring entrepreneur and you got this side hustle that you're working on, it doesn't mean that you staying at that job works for you just because everybody else is trying to do it. And for someone who's trying to make some stuff happen and the weekend comes and your friends are like, why aren't you partying with us? Why aren't you getting drunk? It's time to turn up, team, get lit. Let's have some fun. It's okay if your weekends are for studying, because you're going back to school to finish that degree that you started but didn't finish. It's okay for you to do that and not do what everybody else is doing on the weekend. And for those of you who have felt a little bit uneasy, felt like your consumption of porn has been a little bit over the top, a little bit too indulgent, a little bit like it's taking some of your energy to interact with the real woman in your life, then maybe you get to try something different instead of what everybody else is doing.
Internet porn is killing young men's sexual performance.
Because you don't want that to happen. Shout out to all the folks checking in on the Facebook Live. I appreciate you. Your energy and your commentary is always welcome. It gets me going. Shout out to Christine, who also says on the Facebook Live, she said, props to me for being open. And she also said she agrees with the second woman who told me that she felt like when I was watching adult internet porn, that it was a form of cheating on her. And Christine, I appreciate you acknowledging me for being open, because you know, one of the things we do here is we get personal about the news and the culture. We don't just want to cover the news. We don't just want to commentate about it. We want to talk about what it means to you, what it means to me, what it means to us. And so I've been sitting on sharing this part of my life with you and the rest of the underdogs for a little while, because even I get nervous and anxious about sharing and being judged or people talking about me or making fun of me. But then I realized then I'm part of the problem instead of part of the solution if I don't lean in and share and hopefully create a space where you and others feel like they can share too. Because while the names may be different, some of the stories have stayed the same, and we get to share with each other so we know that we don't have to feel so alone in the world or so uptight about stuff or make it feel so significant. So thank you for saying that, because I feel even a little lighter now by sharing that with you. And to me, the Stormy Daniels and Trump story was just a trigger, an impetus, an opportunity for us to get personal about the news and the culture and about porn, right? 40 million Americans are watching it. This industry ain't making all this money because of Donald Trump, not him alone. They weren't making all this money just because of me. There's others out there. So sometimes just because everybody's doing it as underdogs, we get to figure out some of those things we don't do, because not because they're good or bad, they just don't work for us. Shout out to Daryl from the 215. We grew up together from the city of brotherly love. I love it when Mount Airy and Philadelphia is in the building in New York City and in Harlem. Daryl says, we talking about Stormy? I only have one word of things to say about that. If you pay someone hush money and the news still gets out, you didn't pay them enough hush money. Preach. So a couple things. First, if you're Donald Trump and it's widely known that you're a bit of a guy who likes to be around town and be with multiple women, why would you even need to pay a woman that you had a consensual relationship with to be quiet? It makes me think, and one of my friends pointed out to me, that there must be more that she knows beyond the fact that they had some type of sexual relationship. Because just him having sexual relationship, even though it was infidelity and he was married, like, that's not news, actually, in the body of work or the brand of Trump. So I'm thinking she must know something that he doesn't want to get out beyond the actual relationship they have. And you make a good point, D, that clearly 130-something thousand just doesn't go as far as it used to, because clearly the birds are chirping and not staying quiet. So that money that its lawyer paid that he didn't know about but didn't know about but kind of knew, that sent to them because it didn't do this and had that and did, but I guess, yeah, it just wasn't enough. And then all of a sudden, they're back to here.
Michael Cohen has acknowledged publicly that he facilitated a payment of $130,000 from his own personal funds in accordance with this agreement.
We think it's highly questionable as to whether it came from his personal funds.
You think the president knew about it?
There's no question the president knew about it.
All of it putting the White House on defense.
Did he know about the payment at the time?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you asked the president this question?
Yeah, I've had conversations with the president about this. There was no knowledge of any payments from the president, and he's denied all of these allegations.
We shall see. On a news note, though, there are actually a couple reasons why, as citizens, as Americans, as actually the employer of the president of the United States, why we should care, is that there is at least the notion that the money that was paid to Stormy Daniels could be seen as part of a campaign contribution, and that would potentially break campaign finance laws. And so there could be some legal issues that come up, not because of the relationship they had. So there was no crime in that. It may be immoral, may be like a bad, terrible thing to do, but it's not illegal. But the actual cover up and money exchange actually could be a crime, you know. So in this case, the cover up is the crime, not the initial actions. And so we'll see. Donald Trump is in the news with Stormy Daniels, but we don't just cover and commentate about the news, we get personal about it. And so I wanted to share about my own drama with porn stars and watching too much adult internet porn over the years, doing too much, impacting my social life, impacting the intimate relations I had been in. Yeah, a lot of people were doing it, 40-something million Americans, a lot of men. But as we learned here, as a rule, as a underdog principle, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that it's something you should do for where you're headed, for what you're up to.
Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.